On the line, I have Donal Clifford. Good evening, Donal.
Good evening, Shane.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, you're welcome.
This issue.
Would you like to introduce yourself first, Donal?
Yeah, I'm Donal Clifford. I'm a psychotherapist, counsellor, addiction counsellor, working private practice, working also with the Sexual Health Centre in Cork City, specialising in sexual addictions, compulsions, problematic sexual behaviour.
Okay, that's quite broad.
Yeah.
I mentioned before that we would try and cover a little bit around porn, and I was mentioning that they're getting a lot earlier and earlier with looking at porn. What's your sense as you're getting these days?
Yeah, this was highlighted, I think, back in 2012 by a guy called Patrick Cairns from the States. And what he reckoned back then was that there was a tsunami of this issue going to appear down the road because of the introduction of the internet and what was happening. And I suppose a lot of people kind of ignored it and didn't take much interest in it. And what I'm seeing today is that it's starting to really come true since the pandemic.
Yeah.
More so with younger men. I think I started the work in this area back in 2014 was when I started it, and since then I've noticed quite a significant change in the age groups that are presenting with the issue. So like when I started, there was kind of older men in their like late 20s, 30s and 40s presenting with an issue that they had a problem with sex, whatever they describe it. And we'll say in the last 2 years since I've moved into the Sexual Health Centre in Cork, there's been over a 350% increase in the call for our service.
Wow.
And a lot more younger men, I'm talking late teens, early 20s, coming forward with more serious issues around sex and their sexual behaviours.
And that 350%, that's a massive increase, isn't it?
Huge increase, huge. Like I knew it was coming. I suppose when I started this, what I thought was, like, working in this area, it would be nice just to have a service. I didn't think it was going to be this much of an issue. Never would have predicted what's after coming now. But it is a huge increase. And like, we have, at the moment now, we have a long waiting list in the Sexual Health Centre for people looking for the service.
Yeah.
I suppose every week goes by, we get at least one person contacting us or a service contacting us with a client or a referral around sexual issues.
Yeah, and do you think that maybe COVID had an impact on it as well? Like, you know, I suppose I'm seeing in some of my clients that they talk about the fact that they did a lot of porn during the first lockdown.
Yeah, most certainly.
Yeah.
It would have been, people might have been using it not so problematically, we'll say, pre-COVID. And then, like, coming into COVID, if people were already using it, and then they found themselves in isolation or working from home is a big one, that they found themselves going to it more and more and spending more and more time on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think even the providers of, we'd say the likes of Pornhub would be one provider. They are, like, they'd give monthly and yearly kind of forecasts of their users and around the world, so they'd be having their information around the world. And it changed from the height of their use would be after midnight to lunchtime. So
right.
Kind of in the lockdowns, people were going to it more in lunchtime.
Wow.
And it was kind of steady then throughout the day.
Wow. So their biggest amount of people, volume of people, was from 12 midnight to lunchtime?
No, it was from, so before COVID,
right.
People would have been watching us after midnight.
Okay.
And then when COVID hit, it would have been, that would have changed to lunchtime, so
right.
Would have been going online at lunchtime, watching at lunchtime, waiting till midnight.
Not waiting till after work or even lunch breaks and stuff like that, like, because they were all at home and stuff like that.
Exactly. So
yeah.
They had more access to us. They weren't in the office. They were working from home. So, yeah.
And do you think that one of the biggest problems we have is that it's so, you know, I suppose, when we were growing up, it was Playboy and you had to go into a shop and you had to, you know, keep your head down and not look at the shopkeeper in the eye and things like that. Whereas now it's so accessible. It literally, you know, it's on your phone and that's it. Do you think that is having a massive impact?
huge impact, Shane. I think people are kind of underestimating the impact this is having. Now everybody is walking around with pornography in their pocket.
Mm.
And I think the real problem is that people are giving kids, basically, if you look at it this way, people are giving kids pornography at the age of 8, 9 and 10.
I know, it's mad.
They give them their smartphone.
Yeah.
Because they're not, they don't know. And I think it's not that people are ignorant. I think it's just ignorance in this area of technology.
Yeah.
That they're not putting blockers on their phones or safeguards on their phones for the kids. So the kids then have access to absolutely everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's ways around these blockers and stuff like that for the kids as well. Like, I mean, that's the worst problem with these phones, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's certain apps you can download as well, like to get around it and stuff like that. Like, and it's you know, I mean, you know, I feel sorry for parents with young children these days, like, because it is hard to monitor everything, you know?
Yeah, it's very hard to monitor everything. But there, like, I think part of the problem is that we're not making any attempts in any way, shape or form to actually do something about it. Like, what it would take is one child to come into the schoolyard with a phone and to show it to other children.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Everybody's introduced to it.
Yeah.
But at the ages of 8 and 9, somebody's blockers, adults aren't able to get past them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. So it's just becoming aware. And as I mentioned, I think even us talking about this on the radio tonight, like, of people who have children of that age that have smartphones, to just bring that awareness around to it, that, because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even think of an 8 or 9 year old would even look at porn, because, you know, they haven't gone through puberty or anything like that. They shouldn't have any curiosity around that aspect of things at that age, you know. So a parent probably wouldn't even think of putting in blockers around that aspect.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's where we might be kind of cutting ourselves, is thinking that an 8 or 9 year old wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I remember when I started doing this work, Shane, I gave a talk in a community for a community organisation. I gave them this information that was researched from the UK, but it said around the age of 10, 11 and 12 the kids were watching pornography. And all I got back was, no, that wouldn't be the case. No. And yeah, Actually it is the case, because I've met these kids, they're now adults, who started watching pornography at that age.
Yeah.
Even 8 year olds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose I was also mentioning, like, that the biggest problem I see with porn, I have lots of problems, but one of the things is this expectation of what a woman is like, you know, from looking at porn. And women and girls looking at porn as well have an expectation of what a man will do, either sexually or how they'll actually look, you know, the whole shave look and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I suppose this is creating, you know, when a child gets to puberty and goes out into the world and finds a woman that doesn't look like that, it causes a huge amount of anger.
Yeah. Anger, I suppose, and then struggling to be intimate. And there's lots of issues that come with, I suppose, kids watching porn. And I'm saying kids because I don't want to demonise pornography either. I think it's our association with it.
And it's just, it's really getting out of hand, like, because look, porn does have to exist. We're not by no means saying here that porn doesn't have to exist. It has to exist, but it has to be in moderation rather than, you know, I mean, geez, I remember a client telling me, like, that he would look at porn, you know, 30, 40 times in a day, you know, and I know that's quite small in comparison to some people, you know, and, you know, porn in moderation works, you know, for some people, you know.
Yeah. I suppose my concern isn't really around porn. My concern is about the age that people are accessing pornography.
Yeah.
You know, I think the age limit is more of a concern for me, and how a child's brain developed when it's watching some of these very, very explicit material.
Yeah.
You know, and I think our education around that and our sexual education in Ireland is quite archaic now at this stage. Where we really haven't caught up with the times at all. We're quite behind the mark in terms of sex education.
And what do you think the schools and the government really need to do at this stage? Because this isn't something like we'll wait and we'll sort it out in a couple of years' time. This is something that needs to be done now, isn't it?
It needs to be done now. It needs to be done 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We're not even yet having the conversation. And I know some kids are going to school and there's the program now that they're doing in school, and part of it is around sex education, but a lot of that program isn't even being delivered.
Yeah,
you know, not to mind adding, and there was a conversation recently about talking about porn and sex education in school, but they're not doing the parts that are there already, because that isn't, there isn't room in the curriculum for it.
Yeah.
So this idea that it's going to be done in the schools as part of is a complete myth. You know, I think it was a bit of a kind of a headline grabber for a while.
Well, I mean, the government have missed out on an opportunity here. You know, they're bringing it into the schools, but as you said, they're not concentrating on the areas that they need to. It's very, from what I've seen of it, it's quite diverse. It covers so many different topics that it's not just like I say. I just think that the government have missed a trick here of actually sorting out the curriculum on the sexual education and, you know, and tackling it properly rather than the way they're tackling it at the moment.
Well, from what I'm seeing, they're not really tackling it. I couldn't give you a good instance of what is being done in terms of tackling it. I genuinely couldn't give you any example of something that's been done that's even, geez, I don't know if there's anything being done.
Yeah.
I don't know where I work with a sexual health centre.
Yeah.
And now they're not going into schools, but they have some absolutely fantastic programmes running.
Right.
But it can't be done through the schools.
Okay,
you know?
But the general public could access those programs.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like if you went down to the Sexual Health Centre in Cork and to their website,
okay,
some fantastic programs, and actually the schools can access some of them as well. But I think what they're asking people do is asking teachers to deliver some of these programs around sexual health.
Right.
And they're just not prepared.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot. Like you would need someone really specialised in it, as opposed to asking a teacher to add another string to their bow.
Yeah.
That maybe they don't agree with or isn't something that they're familiar with themselves.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, a lot of people are even talking about this on the radio at the moment, like it's still seen as a taboo subject to talk about. People don't like talking about this subject, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're going to see an increase of so many other things coming up, and, you know, I think us Irish people need to just, you know, get out from behind the closet at this stage and just talk about these things, you know?
Yeah, and I think we really do want to. I think as a nation, we want to. And I was only saying to one of my clients today, a new client, like, coming, and he was talking about, you do sexual stuff as well? And I said, I do. And he said, like, I want to talk about some of that.
Yeah.
And he said, he'd never spoken about it before, but it's the idea now that people have heard, I suppose, that I deal with sexual issues, that nearly every client will come through, will look to address some part of it, or bring sex into their own kind of, where they mightn't have mentioned it before in therapy,
they would
feel comfortable mentioning it with me. I'm seeing it in my own practice, and it mightn't be anything to do with sexual addiction. It might just be to do with their understanding of sex or how they are in their own sexuality, that they're finding it more comfortable just to talk about because there is somebody there to talk about it.
Yeah. And it's just literally talking about it, like talking about saying those words, like, and stuff like that, and actually saying, you know, would you like to talk about sex, you know, or anything that you're struggling with, like. And but we still have a large percentage of the Irish population who just actually don't even like that word, can't even talk that word, mention the word at all, like, you know.
Yeah, and there is that, and there's also a lot of people out there who find it very comfortable and are just dying to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about.
But they need someone to actually open. Now, I do think that the younger generation coming up, the 18, 19-year-olds coming up, are very more comfortable with the terminology compared to the older generation.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
Which is a plus, you know.
Yeah, it just seems to be more natural to them, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But I mean, there, you know, there's way more, as you said, they mightn't be great inside the schools, but there is some form of topics about it. And there is, you know, the teachers don't get blush or something when they're talking about it, like they actually will openly talk about it. And that is the difference, you know.
Yeah.
And what message would you like to give to people as your final message, Donal?
I suppose my message would be primarily to parents. I think kind of take ownership of the world you live in today.
Right.
That would be it.
Take ownership of, and I suppose we touched briefly there on the fact that, you know, no matter how young boys or girls are, if they have a smartphone, to put into place those blockers to stop them from actually accessing porn. But I suppose the other thing about it is, if they do access it, or they have been told it by one of their fellow students, that you are comfortable to talk to them about it, and talk to them about the fact that, you know, it's not something they need to worry about now at 7 and 8 years of age. It's something that they need to think about in 4 or 5 years' time, you know.
Yeah, Spot on. That's exactly it.
And that is the key message. And you were mentioning as well that there's a lot of training programs on the website. And do you know the website address?
I don't.
Okay.
Look up Sexual Health Centre Cork.
Okay.
It'll come up there.
Okay. Well, Donal, I'd say you have a very busy life at the moment. As you said, the business in Cork is up 350%. So thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk to us about this subject.
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks a million, Shane, and thanks for highlighting this.
No problem. You're welcome. Thanks, Donal.
Thanks.
Good night. Thanks. Bye.